We're back now in the Bodleian Library to look at some of the other biblical sources that were available to the translators working on the King James Bible. To what extent is it difficult to disentangle the politics of the time from the various religious disputes and theological arguments?
All of these Bibles that we'll be looking at today are inextricably bound up with both theology and politics.
And in front of us, as we speak, this is the Great Bible of 1539, in the time of Henry VIII. Adam, describe this wonderful frontispiece that's lying here. It's extraordinarily exciting to see it at this range, isn't it?
It is. Here, the state effectively absorbs the whole of the Reformation. So you have at the top of this frontispiece the king himself handing out the word of God, verbum Dei, to the church on one side, to the laity on the other, and that word of God rippling down in English to the common people at the bottom. And the common people at the bottom do not say, thank goodness for God. They say, God save the king, vivat rex.
Now, is this Thomas Cromwell lurking around here?
Thomas Cromwell, and there are his coat of arms, because at this stage, when this is produced, he is still riding high. In later editions, the knife would be out, and that is scratched away.
What was the significance of this great Bible?
The significance is that this is Tyndale's text, essentially, buried in this enormous and magnificent volume, but it has become an instrument of state. This is the English crown essentially putting itself into exactly the position the Pope had previously occupied.
The second Bible in front of us is known as the Geneva Bible. This is a copy from 1560. Alistair McGrath, tell us the story of this translation.
Well, this book was produced by a group of English exiles who were Protestant and in effect felt they had to leave England under Mary Tudor. They felt their lives were in danger. This particular group settled in the Protestant city of Geneva, dominated by John Calvin. As a translation, it's actually very good, but we have open in front of us the title page, and again, it has a picture. There are no imageries of kings or queens. There's an absolute affirmation of where real authority lies, just here in the motto, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." There is no king here. What reigns supreme is the word of God, and this Bible is designed to make that point absolutely clear.
Segment 1.
We're back now in the Bodleian Library to look at some of the other biblical sources that were available to the translators working on the King James Bible. To what extent is it difficult to disentangle the politics of the time from the various religious disputes and theological arguments?
All of these Bibles that we'll be looking at today are inextricably bound up with both theology and politics.
And in front of us, as we speak, this is the Great Bible of 1539, in the time of Henry VIII. Adam, describe this wonderful frontispiece that's lying here. It's extraordinarily exciting to see it at this range, isn't it?
It is. Here, the state effectively absorbs the whole of the Reformation.
Segment 2.
So you have at the top of this frontispiece the king himself handing out the word of God, verbum Dei, to the church on one side, to the laity on the other, and that word of God rippling down in English to the common people at the bottom. And the common people at the bottom do not say, thank goodness for God. They say, God save the king, vivat rex.
Now, is this Thomas Cromwell lurking around here?
Thomas Cromwell, and there are his coat of arms, because at this stage, when this is produced, he is still riding high. In later editions, the knife would be out, and that is scratched away.
Segment 3.
What was the significance of this great Bible?
The significance is that this is Tyndale's text, essentially, buried in this enormous and magnificent volume, but it has become an instrument of state. This is the English crown essentially putting itself into exactly the position the Pope had previously occupied.
The second Bible in front of us is known as the Geneva Bible. This is a copy from 1560. Alistair McGrath, tell us the story of this translation.
Well, this book was produced by a group of English exiles who were Protestant and in effect felt they had to leave England under Mary Tudor. They felt their lives were in danger.
Segment 4.
This particular group settled in the Protestant city of Geneva, dominated by John Calvin. As a translation, it's actually very good, but we have open in front of us the title page, and again, it has a picture. There are no imageries of kings or queens. There's an absolute affirmation of where real authority lies, just here in the motto, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." There is no king here. What reigns supreme is the word of God, and this Bible is designed to make that point absolutely clear.